Good evening, everybody. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. We'll read 25 to 40. 1 Corinthians 7, 25 to 40. Paul picks up here, he goes back to the subject of marriage, goes back to the subject of remaining as they were. If you remember in the beginning of the chapter, he talks about those that were not married, and he says, he gives his advice that they should stay that way. He digresses a bit when he talks about those things that are assigned to us. We looked at that last time. Now he goes back to the subject of marriage. Verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife, seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife, seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak to your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely or befitting, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. We ask for your wisdom. Father, I pray that you would give clarity from this passage, Lord. I pray that you would open it to us and help us to understand what you were writing to the Corinthian church. And we'll give you all the praise. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a strange portion of Scripture, and I say that reverently. I say strange in that I would say hard to understand. This is when Paul's writing to the Corinthians, because in it we see he is dissuading both virgins and single Christians from marriage. He's saying it'd be better if you didn't get married. And so when you read that in this chapter and you read from verse 25 to 40, you think to yourself, what am I to think of Paul's words of caution about marriage? Why was he giving them this counsel? Because you can see there, he says, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgments, like giving his advice, giving his counsel. Now, don't the scriptures teach us that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing? They do. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? All true. The scriptures do teach that. So why is Paul counseling the Corinthians this way in regard to marriage here in verses 25 to 40? Why is he teaching us this? Well, I'd like to take four verses out of this entire passage, really between verses 25 and 35, and I think they kind of give us the overarching theme of what the Apostle Paul was trying to say here. Or this is his message out of the text, or his main message out of the text. Now, there are four passages that I want you to look at briefly, and I think if we understand what he's saying in these four places, I think we kind of understand what he's saying in the whole. The first place to look is in verse 26. If you look in verse 26, he says, "I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress." So the first reason he's giving this counsel is because of the present distress that existed in the world at that time, at the time that he wrote this letter. So that's the first reason to understand. The second reason is in verse 29. He says there, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." And so that's the second reason that we see. The third reason is kind of connected with that reason when he says there in verse 31, "The world is passing away," or "the world passeth away." And the last reason, I think, is the most important reason why he says the things that he says in this entire passage. It's in verse 35. Notice in verse 35, you'll see those words. Well, he says, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you," but these are the words, I believe, "but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction." See, I think those, if we can understand what Paul's saying in those four separate places, I think that it'll help us to understand the whole of why Paul is saying this about marriage. Why is he saying that, no, don't get married? Why is he saying that? But before we move to that, I want you to understand that every word of God written by Paul to the saints at Corinth, or any of the saints. Listen, whenever you're reading the Word of God, a difficult passage of the Scripture, Paul's emphasis, or any of the writers of Scripture from the Word of God, is designed to keep our hearts and minds fixed upon Christ. And I think that's Paul's design here for those that were single, those that weren't married, even for those that were married. Now, get this right here. And understand this, Paul's not forbidding people from marrying. He's not forbidding people from marrying. But what his greatest desire was that they would not fix their minds on things in the world, that their hearts and minds would be fixed on eternal things and not temporary things. And I hope that I'll be able to explain this as we move through this section. So as we begin in verse 25, Paul returns to the subject of marriage, as I said before. In this case, he begins by advising and counseling virgins, and I think men or women who were single and have not married, I think he's advising them. He's not forbidding them, and we'll see that in a moment. Now, remember back in verse 1, turn back and look at verse 1 of chapter 7 real quick, just so we can rehearse this. Remember back in verse 1, Paul said, notice, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me." So he's still answering their questions. He's answering the questions that they sent unto him. And so back to verse 25, concerning virgins, Paul says, he says, "I've been given no commandment or specific direction from the Lord. Yet," he says, "I give my judgment, or my counsel and my advice, as one who hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful." Faithful here means a trustworthy counselor. So he's giving good counsel to them. Now, he's not giving a commandment, but he's giving trustworthy counsel. Verse 26 is really the first direction, or the first indication. It's that first verse that we looked at that'll help us understand the text. He says, "I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be," or as it means, "to remain as he is," and meaning unmarried. Back up to verse 8. He said this already. If you back up to verse 8, He said, well, verse 7, if you look, well, actually, go to verse 6. There's that statement again that he just repeated that we just saw in verse 25. He says, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. How was Paul? Paul was not married. But every man hath his proper gift, one after this manner and another after that. So it's not for everyone. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. And then he talks about in verse 9, if they cannot contain, let them marry. So we see the reference there. So, but Paul says here, it's good, therefore, for the present distress. It's good for a man to remain even as I am. So he's saying it's better for you because of the present distress in the world. That coupled with the difficulties that accompany marriage, it's better to remain or to continue as you are single. And so that's the advice Paul's giving here, specifically to the Corinthian church. Now, what was the present distress? What's the present distress that he's talking about? I believe it was the persecutions in that time against Christians, against the Christian church. It was the trouble in the world against the church of Christ. And this would only make marriage more difficult. And I think that's what Paul's talking about. Now, think about the time that the First Corinthian letter was written. It was written between probably 55 and 60 A.D. Remember, 10 years hence from that day was the destruction of Jerusalem, where Jerusalem fell. And so perhaps things were getting bad at that time, in the time of the First Corinthian letter, and Paul knew the prophecy, and he saw this coming. In fact, look at Luke 21:23. If you turn back to the book of Luke, chapter 21 and verse, actually 21:20, you can see these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in regard to the destruction of Jerusalem. Luke 21 and verse 20. The Lord Jesus here says, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Notice verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Talking about a mother and a wife. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. That word distress is the same word that the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 26. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. So Paul perhaps had the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD in view. And he knew that that was coming. Perhaps that was why he was giving this advice. I don't really know. But I know that there was a present distress, in so much that the Apostle Paul gave counsel to the single Christians, to young virgins, to not marry. 2 Corinthians 6:4 says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, and we could put ourselves here, every Christian, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Same word, in distresses. Now, I said this already, but I'll say it again. We'll see in a moment the Apostle Paul was not forbidding virgins and singles to marry. What he was saying is, to marry in this time will be distressing and difficult. Listen, we could say that at this time, can't we? That being said, verse 27, look at verse 27. Go back to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 27. If you get back there, 7:27, Paul goes to the married. Verse 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. So, again, to marry in this time was to marry in a very distressing and difficult time. If you are married in these present distressing, difficult times, Paul says, don't seek to be loosed from your wife. If you're not married, don't seek a wife. Now look at verse 28. But this I say, brethren, and here's the second text that we read to help us to understand. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. So you see, Paul's not forbidding marriage. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. So troubles and cares that you didn't have before you were married, all of a sudden now you'll have them. And Paul says, but I spare you. So Paul is telling them that it was not a sin to marry. But if you marry in these distressing times, what he's telling the Corinthian churches, the young people, you will have troubles and cares that you didn't have being single. And that on top of the distresses and the persecutions against the church that are happening now in the world. And listen, back to Paul's overarching theme and his desire for the Corinthians, and I said this at the beginning, Paul's chief concern was for their love to Christ and for the spiritual state of their souls, and that's why he gave this counsel. And this ought to be our concern, brethren, even in our day, in these present troubling times. I mean, listen, you look around you today and young people getting married and young people getting unequally yoked married and people marrying that they're not in the Lord. It's distressing even in these times. And listen, marriage, beloved, is one of the most significant, if not the most significant decision that you will ever make or that I will ever make. Of course, I'm married, but when someone marries, it's one of the most significant, one of the biggest decisions that people ever make. And how often, beloved, and think about this in the Apostle Paul's mind, how often does marriage significantly change the walk of a child of God? One that perhaps before was devoted to Christ and now not so much. Not for their good. Now, listen, if you marry in the Lord, you should continue to walk with the Lord. If you marry in the Lord and you're rooted upon Christ individually when you come together, that ought to be a strong marriage. But what Paul's saying is, even marrying in the Lord, he's telling them now, because Paul's talking to Corinthian Christians, now more time will be required, both of the husband and the wife, in caring for each other, in looking after each other, and not to mention children when they come. And listen, Paul knew the single brother or sister following the Lord and caring for the things of the Lord, once married, would now care for the things of their husband or their wife. And so the danger there that Paul saw was their devotion to Christ would fall off. It perhaps might be put on the back burner. So this care between husband and wife to please each other, and Paul talks about that in the text, it's not sinful, yet in marriage there will be other cares and troubles and distresses that are on top of that marriage in the midst of those distressing times that Paul talks about. When one does marry, even in the Lord, listen, the chief priority both of the husband and the wife is not to please the husband or the wife, but it's to please the Lord. It's to please Christ. And that's how we should all be in our marriages. So Paul was concerned, brethren, that they would leave off their devotion to Christ once married. And again, this applies to every one of us as married persons. Now, if we look at verse 29, we'll move on here. Here's the third reason I gave is Paul says in verse 29, but this I say, brethren, that the time is short. The time is short. And this is one of the other reasons why he dissuaded them from marriage. So listen, you're only in this world for a short time. What is the Apostle James says? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. What does the psalmist say? Behold, our days are like a hand breadth. That's the width of a hand. Very short time. We're only here for a short time. And Paul's teaching the Corinthians, these young Corinthian Christians, he's teaching them just as this world is passing away, every marriage will end. Marriage is a temporary covenant. It ends when one dies. You know, when you marry, the scripture says, if you go all through life, till death do you part. And so there is a parting at death. And there is no marriage in heaven. You remember the Lord taught his apostles on that. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. There is no marriage in heaven. And listen, there's one marriage, and it's the church to Christ. That's the only marriage in heaven. But listen, marriage will end. So Paul's focus here for the church at Corinth is, don't get so attached to this world so that you become distracted and disconnected from your devotion to Christ. Even in your marriage, and Paul saw the danger of that happening, and he saw the danger of these young couples getting married on top of the distress of that time. So remember, brethren, even for us, we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're passing through this world. The world in this life is temporary. Every relationship in this life is temporary. It's transitory. It's going to pass away. Listen, I was thinking about that earlier. You think of the generations of the great men and women of the past. They lived in their generation, and then they died. They're gone, and that generation is gone. Beloved, one day this all of us, this generation will pass. We'll all be in eternity, prayerfully in heaven in the presence of God. But brethren, the world in this life is temporary, it's transitory, and it's passing away. So, husband and wife, your love to Christ must surpass your love for each other. And then, brethren, Paul goes on. He says, notice verse 29, he says, it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. And so, beloved, listen, we may be weeping now in this world, and we may be going through trials and troubles now in this world, but we must remember that weeping only endures for a night. The distressing times of this world are going to pass away, and we are going to be in the presence of our Lord. Joy cometh in the morning. And they that rejoice and that don't overly rejoice in this world, brethren, we need to know that our true rejoicing is in heaven. It's what comes. Our rejoicing needs to be in Christ, but not in this world. And they that buy as though they possess not. We're not to possess this world as if we're never going to leave it. The Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Brethren, we're not to possess this world. We're to possess the world that is to come, an eternal life. So we must live in this world, beloved, as though we are always getting ready to move out of it. We're to always be moving. Gary said he had a U-Haul coming to his house. We need to always have the spiritual U-Haul backed up to the house and ready to move out. And the spiritual U-Haul for us is a hearse. I mean, we need to be ready to move out of this world, beloved. Set your affection, beloved, on heavenly and eternal things. Use this world for its utility value, for your earthly needs. Don't abuse the world, and don't overuse the world. Beloved, God's given it to us for its value for us, for our lives, so that we can live in this world. But brethren, don't set your affections on it. John said this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. And the world passeth away. It's passing away. Don't attach yourself to it. And that's really one of the overarching themes of what Paul's teaching these Corinthian believers, these that would marry. He's dissuading them from it for the distress that was going on in those times. Life is short. The world's passing away. And then, verses 32 to 34, notice, he says, but I would have you without carefulness. He says, I don't want you to be anxious. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So now he gives his reasoning as to why he's giving this counsel. Because he says, he that's unmarried, he cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, those aren't wrong things, but you can see how there's going to be a split devotion. And listen, Christ must always be our first love, But yes, we're taught to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and we need to care for our wives. The Bible says he that doesn't provide for his own family is an infidel. Paul said that to Timothy. So, but you can see Paul's reasoning for this time and why he was saying that. It was because of the distress of that time. Verse 34, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And in verse 35, he says, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. In other words, he's saying, I'm not trying to tie you to a certain position. I'm not trying to tell you that you have to do this. I'm giving you my counsel and my advice. But he says, this is the reason. But for that which is befitting you, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Comely meaning befitting. So that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So Paul said, it's not my design to tie you down, to snare you to being single. If God has called you to enter into marriage, then enter into marriage. But in all of what I am teaching you in regard to remaining single or entering into marriage, brethren, my wholehearted desire for you in whatever situation you are in is that you would attend upon the Lord without distraction. So my desire, saith Paul, is that you would not be distracted from your first love, from your devotion to Christ. And that was Paul's heart for the people of Corinth as he teaches here, as he taught them. So listen, brethren, and we'll close here. Every earthly relationship in this life is temporary, transitory, and passing away. And I think that Paul's overarching message in this entire passage is, again, that they may attend upon the Lord without distraction. I think that's the most powerful passage in this whole section, and that nothing would take them away from their love and devotion to Christ. And so when you look at now, when you think about those reasons, because of the present distress, because the time was short, because the world was passing away, and because Paul's desire was that they would keep their hearts and minds set upon eternal things and heavenly things, and that they would not get so attached, so married to the world, if you will. Paul's desire was that they would attend upon the Lord without distraction. And brethren, I pray that's our hearts as well, in whatever situation we are in our lives, beloved. But I hope that'll help you understand some of the reasoning as to why Paul gave that counsel to the Corinthian church. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. We pray that, oh Lord, that this section of 1 Corinthians, Father, will be a little clearer. I pray, oh God, that it has been exposed properly, and I pray that you'd give your people light. Father, I pray that this word would be cultivated in our hearts. Father, it is our desire, Father, especially in this time, and Father, we do live in distressing times, that we would be devoted to thee, that Jesus Christ would be our first love, and that we would attend upon thee without distraction every single day, O God. Help us, Heavenly Father, to give you our undivided attention. O God, so often I think we give you divided attention. Father, we don't want to do that. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us as husbands and wives. Help us in whatever situation we're in. Father, we seek to honor you. Forgive us for our sins, Father, I pray. Oh God, we're so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the cross of Christ. Father, we continue to remember Yvette. We pray for her. We pray for Olivia. We pray for healing. And Father, we remember our brother Kevin this night. Lord, as we continue to pray for his situation. Father, receive all the glory and the honor, oh God, from all that's been said tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.